We're now recording.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on Tuesday the 31st of May. We have Rafik Damak, Carlton Samuels, Katim Touré, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Carlos Aguirre, John Rahman Khan, Eric Brunner Williams, Elaine Pries, Evan Labovich, Andrew Mack, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Carla Valente and myself, Gisela Gruber. And we have apologies from Tony Harris, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Alex Kekourou, Tijani Benjema, Sébastien Bachelet, Dev Anantiluxing, and Baudouin Chambé. Can I also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes? And I'll try and to see which is the noisy line today. Thank you. Over to you, Rafik and Carlton.
Thank you, Gisela. Thanks to everybody for joining today's call. We have also maybe a special guest. Thanks for Katim to join us today. So for the agenda today, we discussed Carlton and me. So we think that as items, we should start about suitable dates and time for to have that teleconf between the GAC board members and GIS working group. And then the second item, it will be a discussion about the questions on financial and financial and and legal questions that we are asking ICANN staff to respond to them, and so we can add this question to the milestone report wiki space. So any comment in this agenda? Okay, so let's start with the first item, which is about the conference between the working group and the board and GAC members. So I may suggest that we have that conference in our next Tuesday call, so it will be in next week, so we can have enough time, maybe next the next call and this week to prepare for that call. So I will be happy to get the feedback from working group members about that, and also maybe from Katim, so we can set up quickly this call. Carlton, can you please take care of of the queue, because I cannot access to the Adobe Connect.
Yeah, that's fine. I will take care of the queue. Can I ask, are members here in agreement or understand why we are having this special purpose call? Is there a sense that, is there anyone who would violently oppose having this call?
Carlton, this is Evan.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I'm not on Adobe Connect, but forgive me. I would just note that there's an awful lot of key people from the working group who are not on this call, so we can certainly get things done, but I wouldn't want too many things to be done definitively with like I said, so many key members not on the call.
Okay. Eric, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Carlton. This is a question that should have been sent to the mailing list. Thank you.
So I want to reply to Evan. I'm not sure about whom, about the members who are not here, but at least I got feedback from Olivier, and he agreed about that date and time. So I think we need to set up as soon as possible. We don't have so much time before Singapore meeting, just 2 weeks. So I think next week is either we can organize that in Tuesday, so it's next Tuesday, so it's just 1 week. We'll have to wait for Friday, but it will be close to Singapore meeting. So, but maybe if we need to have, how to say, the feedback of all working group members, we can put that discussion in the list. But don't forget that we need to coordinate with GAC and board members. So we are just suggesting some dates and time. So, and we need to take care of that. Any comment about that? So, how you think that we should proceed? So, to ask people in the mailing list and set up a real close deadline. I would like to ask Katim what he thinks that is a suitable date and time. So we have Tuesday and Friday call. So what's the most suitable time and date for board members to join us?
Katim might be still on mute. And Eric has raised his hand again.
Yes, I think the same point for Rafiq and Carlton. Katim is on mute. This is something that is easily done by email. Why are we taking up call time on something as amorphous as the subject? Thank you.
Katim's line is unmuted. Katim, you can try and speak now.
Okay. Am I back on?
Yes.
Yes, Katim, just speak.
Hello. Yeah, okay. I just got the gist of what you were trying to say there, Eric. Ivan, I beg your pardon. And I think it was about the scheduling of the date for the board. Was that your question? The meetings, the scheduling for the conference call with the board? Hello?
Katim, let me see if I can help you here. We are proposing to have a special purpose teleconference next Tuesday, 7th June, for board and GAC members to weigh in on this, on the issues that are important to them as they see it. And we are proposing next 7th. And we are, and the question that was asked by Rafiq was whether or not, in your opinion, the 7th would be a good time to have that conversation.
To the best of my knowledge, that should be a fine, that should be a good date, I think, but that is one, just my personal opinion. And I think you might just want to run this by Peter, bring it to us, and then ask him to it. And we can pick it from there. But like I said, for me, it should be fine.
Okay.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. Did you hear me?
Yes, yes, Katim, we heard you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. Eric is up again. Eric Hand is up.
That's an accident.
Okay. Eric, but if I could give you some we're not going to have a discussion. We put this in for no more than 10 minutes. We're at the end of the game here. What we wanted is to just ensure that we have everybody on board. This issue has been on the list. It was discussed. We're just making sure, because there were some of our brothers who thought that there is in the GNSO a sense that we are making a special effort to speak to the board and GAC members, and that might be subverting the process. That is why we're making sure.
I think that we have some agreement about Tuesday. I will send email to the list to confirm that, and then we can pass that to the board and GAC just to get their feedback, and then we can set up this. We can confirm that quickly.
Can I say something just for the record? Cheryl just reminded me of something here. Just for full disclosure, we had proposed the 7th or the 10th as the date for the conference call. I think we settled on the 7th for some reasons, but just for everybody's knowledge, it was for the 7th and the 10th. Or the 10th.
Okay, okay. We can suggest both, and then... I'm not sure if we need to make a doodle pool or not. So maybe it will take time, etc. But okay. But we can continue discussing that on the mailing list. So I think we can move to the next item, which is about the questions that we want to ask to the some ICANN staff about legal and financial issues. I think we have some from Eric, Evan, Tijani, Sintra. Maybe I am forgetting some people. Is it possible to have the question in the Adobe Connect, Carla?
Hi, Rafiq. The questions on Adobe, I'm just going to put the questions on Adobe Connect. You need to give me a minute. Rafiq, I'm posting here. This is Carla speaking for the record. It is the exact nature expertise that the Just Working Group is looking for, especially related to the legal knowledge.
Okay.
Is that what you had in mind?
Yes.
So I posted this comment. In addition to this comment, is there anything else you want me to post?
Don't think so.
Hello,
Carla. Did you, I don't know. I cannot see.
Carla, can I just intervene here?
Yes. Sure.
There were questions that needed to be clarified. You asked for clarification of some specific questions in response to, especially the people who held the pen on the report. You sent some documents. They have reviewed those documents. They feel that the questions, there are still some issues that they want resolved. Cintra is now on. I would suggest to you, Rafiq, that you ask Cintra to provide the questions that still require clarification from her part. Andrew is also on. Andrew had some questions that needed clarification.
Okay. Just we don't have just from Cintra. We have from Evan. Cintra. I think also Eric asked it. That his question to be discussed, and unfortunately we don't have DJ. So, but I think we can, if how to say, this question can be ordered as financial and legal. So the financial one, I think it's Cintra. Legal, it's more from Ivan, and I think we have Eric. So we can start with Cintra, and then we go to Ivan, and then to Eric. So does it work? Does it make sense for you?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Cintra.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Rafiq. My questions would is just about two or three small questions. I wanted some information specifically with regard to the auction. Auctions have not been catered for, dealt with at all. The amount of the costs of auctions have not been considered. So I was wondering, if they were considered at all, what are the estimates for cost auctions? If they were not considered, then why? Why not? And if we can have a consideration or, you know, an assessment of what those costs would be. Those auction costs, I want to use with regard to my second question, which is unbundling the cost and not having the applicant pay this lump sum at the beginning. If auction costs are not significant, or it can easily be recouped in the auction process, then could this not justify a case of us having applicants pay, well, inject funds along the process, and in the event that they cannot pay, that GTLD application goes to auction? I will type it out, but I'm not in Adobe Connected yet. The only other queries I had was with regard to a specific breakdown of staff time, which for each stage of the process, which hasn't really been detailed. They're just really lump sum figures that are given. And no specific detail as to how much time, which areas of the process are expected to require more financial injection than others. Thank you. That's it for me. Carla, if you need a clarification, I'll be happy to give you. I'm just not in Adobe Connect right now.
Yeah, so thank you, Cintra. So what I have is basically auction cost details, and we didn't understand whether or not this auction cost can be recouped in the auction process.
Yes, and also if auctions are a viable mechanism for, to go towards unbundling the cost. So if auctions can be applied to all GTLD applications, if they don't go through for one reason or the other, if the applicant cannot pay along the process. So the reasoning why that $185,000 was requested to be paid as a lump sum at the start.
Okay, so to know also if auctions can be applied to or should be applied to all of the application, even if the applicants are not subject to auction. Right?
Well, yes, even if there's no string contention, but if the applicant cannot pay during the process. So this is under the assumption that they are allowed to pay staggered payments towards the GTLE costs at each stage.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rafik, there, Andrew is in the queue, and then Alan.
And Carlson, can I put my hand up after that?
And Evan, yes, sir.
Okay, Andrew. So we start with Andrew. Yeah.
It's okay if Alan wants to go first. I'm sure to put my hand up. My apologies.
Alan, you can go, sir.
Yeah, I just want a clarification from Cintra. Maybe I'm missing something. Is the question, if a applicant defaults and doesn't keep paying, can ICANN auction off that application to somebody else to pick up during the same round, or auction it off to use in a future round? I'm not quite sure what the concept of auctioning is meant here.
Well, that's something we'll have to look into, whether or not it's feasible to auction it off in that same round or a subsequent round. But certainly you will give the applicant sufficient time to come up with the financials required for that specific step. So I'm actually not going into that detail right now. I just want to know if auctions are feasible, if it's a realistic...
I think this is going so far from our mandate.
Yes, I'm not sure that we need to talk about that at all.
Okay.
I thought it was for a totally different issue, but I unless I'm misreading it here. My understanding of why the auction would have been to this is to say that what if a string was applied for somebody who was requiring support and did not make it, could that string then be placed in an auction? That was the question that I thought was being asked, and that is specific to a request for support that was denied. That was what I thought the auction was about.
Carlton, if I could say something, I think I got in the queue because I think I can. I'd like to clarify at least my interpretation of Cintra's point, which actually accidentally conglomerates two different points, which I think need to be detailed separately. One of which is directly relevant to the purpose of the questions we need to give to Carla to give to staff, and that is a breakdown of the processes to approve, broken down by the various stages. If we are to advance the point that rather than paying everything up front and then applying for refunds, we should then go to a scheme instead whereby people pay for the various stages as the stages are applied, then it is worth our while to make a request and find out what are the real-time expenses of ICANN for each of those stages so we can find out how to break down the final fee to the applicants based on the stages they go through. To me, that's a very different issue of what happens if they can't pay.
Yes, and that is already in that question is already on the board, yes.
So the issue of what if they can't pay, and I think it's only at that point that even the word auction comes up.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. If you can't, let us assume that you go in and you get from cost reduction or whatever it is that we're going to make it affordable. But even after that, if they can't pay, would the string then be subject to an auction process? That's the question that I thought was being asked.
No, that was my point. I'm sorry if it didn't come across as that, but auctions never come into play if an applicant can pay. It's just applying the auction concept from the string convention to this aspect.
Oh, well, I'm not so sure that is for applicant support. That would be. I'm not sure what that would do for applicant support.
Carlton, this is Evan again. Certainly there must be some kind of reference in the application guidebook of what happens if an application or an applicant fails or does not follow through once having submitted the application. That's
right.
Probably beyond what we need to detail here.
Okay.
We have quite long queue and people who want to comment, so
Andrew,
I'm not
next in the queue.
Yeah, we have Andrew, Elaine, Eric, and then Alan. Just to remind people that we cannot
Andrew,
have...
Andrew, Elaine, and then Eric and Alan.
Yeah. Okay. Andrew, please go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Rafiq. I guess 2.5 quick points. The first one is I was wondering whether we ever moved forward with Fincher's idea of insurance and whether that's something that we want to try to work into a question. It struck me as an awfully good idea, given that this is the way that we would approach a lot of risk management in the rest of the world. The second thing is related to the costs of additional scripts. If we decide for communities to go with an idea of packaging, a crucial piece of information that we do not now have is what would be the additive technical cost if we wanted to have a packaged application, just the cost of doing the additional IDN scripts. And I think that would be meaningful for us to have. And then the last question, or is maybe a comment, is about the issue of whether we are going to do, we were proposing cost reduction, and then we got back some response that said, no, the ICANN wants to do this in terms of a foundation. And I would just throw forward the idea that it may actually, we certainly want cost reductions no matter what, but that it may also be of real value to our intended audience to have some sort of a support foundation or some sort of a support fund in addition, just because everything, it strikes me, is going to be more expensive than we expect, and that it very much isn't a level playing field, and finding the kinds of technical skills that are going to be necessary to help people, especially in small language groups, going to be very, very, my guess is it's going to be very costly. So having both a fund as well as cost reductions is really my recommendation. Thanks. All that makes sense?
Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. So, Elaine?
Thank you. So just a couple of things about this auction discussion. I thought, according to the guidebook, any mention of auction was in regards to when you came to a contention set. So any discussion we've had in our working group about auctions has been around using any funds from auction proceeds for the applicant to help them financially. So what I'm hearing now is you guys are talking about auctioning off an application slot. The needy applicant has a problem. If that's correct, I think that's a brand new concept that we haven't discussed up to this point, and I don't know if that's the intention or not. The second thing about that is if you're talking about the needy applicant paying as they go, I see an immediate problem with pushing that as a major resolution to our problem, in that I can just imagine the reply is going to be, well, we really don't know what it costs until we go through this once. And then, you know, a second round we'll be able to say exactly how much it costs to pay as you go. We'll know exactly how much the new geographical panel is going to charge in order to determine if this is actually a geographical name or not. So if we're going to really push pay-as-you-go, I think we need to carefully craft that argument to avoid being pushed into the second round. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine. Eric?
Responding to commenting on the issue of auctions of applications for spring for applicants who have not managed to make their payments, I want to point out that we appear to have two scenarios. One is in advance, in which case the problem doesn't arise unless additional costs other than the base fee are incurred by the applicant, such as extended review or installed, any of the other scheduled fees, which are smaller and are also offset in time, and the applicant has on the order of 2 years to pay them, and complete the process according to the DAG currently. The other scenario, which is pay-as-you-go, I concur with Elaine, this argument needs to be crafted carefully so that there is no pushback, or so that pushback doesn't have any real basis to stand on. But here again, the condition of failure can't arise for on the order of 2 years after the application is made. So I don't think that we're...
Eric just dropped off.
I think so. Okay. Eric asked that we see the chat. In the meantime, Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. I already put in the chat what I was going to say regarding auctions on.
That's what the question I think.
Applications that didn't go forward. I think it's an issue of adding insult to injury, and I don't even want to go anywhere near there. But I'd like to back out a little bit. We're trying to get some final things ready, both for Singapore and for a final report. This is not the time to be talking about new concepts unless the concept is so compelling and so important that we've forgot it all along and we cannot survive without addressing it. There are going to be a few of those, I'm sure. But to come up with new concepts at this point that we haven't even discussed, I think we've now spent half a call on this or a fraction of it, and I think it's just dead wrong. I think we need to get back to the business we're doing. I'm sure we'll all come up with new ideas that we should have thought of earlier that would be nice to explore. We just don't have the luxury of the time to do that. So I think we need to stay focused at this point. On this particular subject, it's going to be difficult enough if we suggest staggered payments for ICANN to somehow manage that payment stream and have reasonable results if people are a little bit late in paying it and things like that. It's going to be a difficult process. Let's not make it any more complex. And lastly, in terms of foundations and things, I think we want to make we have made a recommendation several times now that if there are funds from windfall profits from auctions or things like that, we would like to see part of that go into support of disadvantaged GTLD applicants. I don't think we need to say any more than that. Thank you. Have I dropped off, or is everyone else just quiet?
I was just in mute. Okay, thank you, Alan. Yeah, I agree with you that we need to stay focused, and we don't have so much time. But anyway, Eric is in the call or not?
No, he dropped off. Can I ask a question? There are two issues that came up from the question that Andrew asked and Cintra. One of them is the question of insurance, and the other, which has been around for a little while, and the other one is the question of bundled fees that has been around for a little while. Is it possible to hear some kind of response or some kind of reaction to that? Yes, Carla. Carla's hand is up, and Elaine is up. Carla, could you go first?
Sure. I just wanted. I typed some things under the financial, under the notes, and I just wanted confirmation from you and Rafik if what is there is what the group wants. If there is anything else that needs to be changed or augmented, can you please take a look and let me know? Thank you.
Well, what I see there is what I think is asked on the list. I was asking if you had captured the questions from Andrew and about the insurance and about the additional cost if you had more than one application? What is the extra cost, to outline the extra costings?
For IDN, if it was going to
for
be...
For IDN, yes. Those, thank you, Gisela. Those were the two I was just hoping that you'd capture.
Yeah, I did not write them down. Andrew, would you be so kind as to put them in the chat so I can add them?
Sure.
Thank you.
Elaine, Rafi can't see you, so I'm just calling for him.
Okay. Elaine, please go ahead.
Thank you. So, Carlton, you just asked for some input on the concept of adding bundling language to our report, or is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm not to add to the report. I'm asking if there was a response that anybody wanted to make to that issue of the bundling cost that Andrew brought up. It's been around for a little while. I was hoping that you would probably have a...
Yeah, it's been around for a while, and it's been debated for, well, we're working on more than a year, at least, and it's never really had consensus because the concept is that one would apply for a string and then get reduced fees for a second or a third string in a different script. So the problem there is, and we're not even getting that for the regular applicants in the guidebook. You might see in the new redline version that came out yesterday that you can go ahead and note what variant you might have, but you're not going to get any special treatment for that. So I really think it's, a distraction from what we're trying to do, which is get a needy applicant with a public benefit to enable to get a new GTLD. And I think if you're asking to get reduced fees for multiple new variants of a single GTLD, I think it weakens the case. Thanks.
Okay. Rafik, Andrew's hand is up.
Sorry, Carlton, can you please take the lead? I'm not able now to continue sharing. Yes.
Okay. All right. So what's on the table is there's two things. Andrew, you need to put the questions you asked in the chat so that Carla can transcribe them.
Right.
First one, and then can you just come on? You have the floor.
Yes, really quickly. Carla, I didn't put those things in the chat because I was listening to Elaine and wanted to respond. I understand what you're saying, Elaine. I think that generally speaking, the benefit outweighs the limited risk. But really, what I was asking for at this stage was just a clarification. As we are asking for data, and I don't think that should be a problem for us. As we're asking for data, one of the questions that we need to still get clarity on is, as part of our, as we're looking at the drill down breakout of the costs, what would be the cost of adding a if we were to go forward with some sort of a package pricing or a bundling kind of scenario, what would be the additional cost? Actual cost, technical cost to ICANN. I think that's meaningful in terms of determining whether or not it's a doable or not a doable, and if we're asking for ICANN to get us information in other areas, I think that makes sense. I know that there's been some up and down as to, you know, whether or not this is going to be helpful or not in our long term, and we've tried to back off, but I still think we'd like very much to, at the very minimum, get the data so that we know what we're talking about. That's all. And I'll write my questions in the chat just now. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. Eric, you're up, sir.
Thank you, Carlton. Eric Ritter-Williams, for the record. A response to Andrew's question, as the current model is each application is evaluated independently, without altering that basic model, ICANN staff's response must be that the cost for doing an IDN application, the incremental cost, is the base fee. It is $185,000. I don't think that it's prudent for our working group to attempt to force ICANN to create an answer which is of general benefit for applicants to multiple strings. I sit somewhere between Elaine and Andrew on this question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. Alan, you're up, sir.
Thank you. I seem to be the naysayer on these calls recently, and I'm going to continue it. We've gotten answers, and I've sat through innumerable ID or new GTLD sessions for 4.5 years now. We have gotten the answers to the question that was just raised, and I'm afraid I disagree with Eric. That isn't the question. That isn't the answer. The 185,000 was composed of a number of pieces, a large part of which is an average that was created out of a complex process to try to understand what the average price would be, given that the costs of evaluating applications and processing applications will invariably be different. I can understand that there will be some TLDs that will have multiple variants, and they were assuming that, yes, those will be easier to process. Am I still online?
Yep.
Okay. Others will be more expensive. The $185,000, to a large extent, was an average based on the concept that they wanted, or conviction that they wanted to charge a single price for the base application. There was never an assumption that every application was going to cost $185,000. There's assumptions that it will be variable depending on the outcomes, and the number was the best they could come up with, like it or not, for what that average should be to try to cover their overall costs. So the fact that some applications will be cheaper was understood from day one, and other applications would be more expensive than 185, and they averaged out. Now, exactly what numbers they used to say what percentage of them would have multiple IDNs and therefore be cheaper is part of the calculation. I'm not privy to that, and it would be nice to get those kind of answers out. That is the input into the statistical analysis. But, you know, the 185 was always deemed to be an average, and let's not pretend otherwise. Thank you.
Caroline DeNorhe, while Carlton is reconnecting or being reconnected, Eric, you want to go ahead?
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Alan, for spending 5 minutes telling us that. The point is, either the applications are judged independently by ICANN, in which case the price is unchanged, or ICANN somehow decides, because we've asked them to treat applications dependently upon each other and therefore arrive at the incremental cost of a second string from the same applicant. Thank you very much for your time.
Carlton, are you back on the call yet? Rafiq, are you able to take over chairing again until Carlton gets back on? There is no other hand on the
Cheryl, Carlton should be on the call. He's not showing that he's off.
Okay. I can only assume that neither Rafiq or Carlton are able to hear.
Andrew, thank you for your question. This is Carla speaking for the record. thank you for your questions. I am asking them. I am putting them in the notes for you to see.
Thanks. I'm still typing on the second one. My apologies. I'm just listening and typing at the same time. I'm slow at that.
Okay. If I could ask the group to take a look at what we have there in the notes and let me know if this is all and this is correct of what you want, that would be useful. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. I just
called back.
Sorry, I just come back now. It's traffic. I'm sorry. I had to go for a few minutes. Okay. Any questions for Carla?
Rafiq, this is Evan. I put up a whole bunch of questions on email. They haven't been discussed here. I'm basically trying to. The question was put up. Carla said that staff has come back and said that they need more detail, that the questions that we've given so far have been too vague and have thus brought back vague answers. They need something more specific. In email, I put up questions that I thought would be useful to send that would give more detail, and I really thought that part of the point of this call was to flesh out a more complete set of detailed questions that we would be forwarding.
Yes, Ivan, it was the target, so that's why we had those financial and legal questions, but I think that we spent time on the financial part, so... if there is no any comment now, we should move to the legal questions that you suggested in the mailing list, and thank you for replying when I asked you about clarification. So, let's discuss them now. We may extend maybe for 10 minutes to allow more discussion about them. So, Carla, can you please put Evan questions in Adobe Connect?
Yeah, I'm going through the emails and trying to find which one of those he wants. So give me a minute, please.
So, Ivan, can you, when Carla put the question, if you want to introduce quickly your them and just giving some clarification about them. Does it make sense for you?
Okay. Carla, for specifics, it was sent 2 days ago on May 29th. The subject was part of the thread GAC weighs in on MR2, and it's, I think, the fourth mail in the thread. I mean, I can paste it right now if that would help, but I can't... put it into the window, I can put it into the chat.
That would help, Evan, because that way Carla has access and she can jump it up.
Okay.
Or Carlton, or...
I just did. Unfortunately, it took out all my line breaks.
Someone else can sort that.
And since I posted that, others have added useful detail and additions to that, and I basically thought that was most of the point of this call.
Yeah, so Evan, this is Carla, and I have this email, the fourth one that comes on Sunday, which is 12/12, that was sent. I'd like to start a brief discussion on. And
Well, there's four down. There's four down. The email that I'm thinking of says, "Hi, Rafiq, I agree that we should give Carla a more detailed request." That's how that email starts. And then there's six bullet points underneath, which I've reproduced in the chat.
Exactly. And that's the ones that I posted on the notes.
So we're not seeing those.
No. Well, I have a more peculiar problem. All of a sudden, I think I've been kicked off the list. So I'm not getting any list posts in my mailbox. I don't know why I've asked for a clarification on that. But I got the email forwarded to me by someone else, and that's not the email. Evan, can you just...
Can you do a quick cut and paste?
I've tried to do in the chat. It screwed up my formatting, and I've just emailed it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to know, I am putting those things in the notes above the chat. Can you see them?
Nope. We have nothing under legal. We have bullet points under financial and nothing under legal.
Yeah.
That's correct. So the bullet points under financial are the ones that I took from the email that Evan just mentioned, and I have nothing under legal yet.
Yes, dear Carla.
Okay. So, why are we doing this if we've now reiterated 3 times, including getting Evan to reproduce it, what is already in the notes? I am despairing at what we're doing on this call.
That's not what I was after. There was a question, a legal question, that was sent, and I'm trying to find it. That was the one I think was being requested. That was what Rafiq was requesting.
I thought we were heading into legal, yes. But
yes, that's what I think Rafiq was requesting. And there was actually one. Oh, no, I can't get into Gmail.
Forgive me for sharing Cheryl's confusion and total frustration with this. I thought when I saw the agenda, I thought a list of questions was one of the main things of this, and that the questions that have been put forward in the mailing list would have been put forward for discussion. In the meantime, we've talked about just about everything but.
So while one person looks for that legal question, why don't we look at the other questions that are already posted and talk about those?
In the 4 minutes we have left?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so I'm sorry for that. I saw that I asked it for both financial and legal question. It's clear in the agenda, but we spent more time in the financial part. I am sorry for Cheryl and Evan frustration, but
I don't even think we've dealt with the financial issue. All the questions that I've posted are financial ones and not legal. You say we've covered that, but I would respectfully disagree.
All of these questions multiple times over the last year. I don't see a new question there except for the insurance question.
Yep.
Can I just make an intervention here? My understanding of what was going to happen is that these are questions for which respondents ask that they have more detailed information from staff. So what was being done here was to ensure that all the questions that folks in this work group wanted, specific information provided by the staff would have been included. You're quite right, Lane. Some of these questions have been on the list and been around for a long time. The issue is, with the exception of the insurance question, so the issue is, can we agree that these questions are still the ones that people think need more detailed answers from staff? That is what I understand to be the objective.
And the other thing, Elaine, is it's one thing to say that we've asked the questions many times, and maybe one of these days we'll actually get answers to them. So that's also the point of this exercise, is if we have to keep stating the questions until we get a good answer for them, then maybe that's what we have to do.
So I'm wondering what's the ultimate objective here? If we ask this question and we keep getting an answer we don't like...
It's not an answer we don't like. It's that it's an insufficient answer. And we've been charged to do something here. In order for us to do this, we have to have proper, good input information for us to give the calculations and details that have been asked of us. So we have been asked to provide detail to expand on those things that we've put out in Milestone Report 2. In order to do that, we need some extra additional information, detailed information. And as long as staff refuses us to do that for us, then we are incapable of suitably doing the task that has been given to us. It's as simple as that.
And I would suggest that perhaps the problem is we're not accepting the staff's assumption that there's a base fee taken on historical reasons, and if we keep asking them to break this apart and they can't really break it apart, then...
If they can't break it apart, then they've been guessing, and I want to find out why... If they're not guessing, I want to find out what they use to generate their number. So one of two things has happened. Either they've used a dartboard or they've used a calculation and a set of assumptions. If they've used a dartboard, fine, have them say so. If they've used a set of assumptions and calculations based on those, I want to know them. That is not too much to ask, and that's a very direct question.
Richard sent around an email that had a couple of documents that said...
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. I don't think that we have such... I don't think that's such way that we need to have a discussion only between two people. Okay, I understand there is some frustration in this call, and there are some complaints that it's waste of our time if we don't need those questions. My understanding was when Ivan... I am not remembering Friday or Sunday. Email asked for in the call asked for specific support from staff and also specific question, and we started discussing about them, and then we have the from Kala question that we need to make them more direct, so we can pass them to the staff about those financial and legal issues. That's why I thought that we need in this call to work on them, to have this question clear, direct, and clear enough for the staff so we can get response. I am sorry that it seems that doesn't work, and we didn't reach the goals to have... those questions ready. Okay. I am sorry that, Eric, you are always complaining about the share, how is managing this call. I am sorry for you, but it's, sometimes it's always irritating that I have such complaints every time. I'm sorry to be not politically correct this time, but I am sorry for everybody in this call. Carlton, can you please take the share? I'm going to leave soon, please.
Okay, Rafik, it's at probably the hour now. Can I just say one thing about the caller asked the question, what was the legal question that was asked? In the email that was sent, and I can't get onto my Gmail, so I can't find it. It was forwarded to me because I'm not on the list for some reason. The question was, there would have been a component of costs associated with legal work. And the question was towards what would that be, and to outline the amount of legal work that would have been contemplated for this exercise. I think that was the central thing behind the question as I read there. I can't remember who exactly was it, because it was several posts and it was forwarded to me. That was the question asked. There was a question about the cost of legal work and the nature of the legal work that was associated with the exercise. That was the first thing. Somebody had asked about the setting up a foundation and all that. I think it was couched. I don't think it was important to ask that question, because a 501c organization, the cost of the 501c organization, I just think that we don't need to know that. We would simply say to them, you know, if this is one of the things that we would respond, one of the ways to respond to the requirement for support, then it was assumed that there's somebody competent to set up a 501c organization.
Thank you for that. So adding to the financial or, you know, adding to the financial and looking at it as legal, what is the cost and nature of the legal work and cost in the constant?
Yes. The assumption was that there was some legal work and one they wanted to know what was the cost that was assigned to that legal work. And then, secondly, the nature of the legal work. I don't see any hands. Can I just kind of pull this together? If you look in the notes windows, there are a list of questions for which the principal drafters of the statement of asked for clarification. It is important for them to have those questions clarified because it speaks to the details that is required to justify the prices or the cost reductions that are contained in the document. That is the reason for this. If people can think of any other piece of data they can put in that line to clarify those issues, please do. If we add the cost, the issue about the legal question, I think most of it is about cost too, then you can do that as well. This is what it is. Just before I call the call to an end, is there any other question? Is there any comment?
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, no, I guess now that it's coming to an end, I've been moved all along. I just wanted to observe and listen and learn, and I must say thank you very much to all of you. It's been a wonderful meeting. I've really enjoyed listening in, and I just have gotten to have a much deeper appreciation of the issues that you're grappling with and much more respect for the work that you're doing. So please keep up the good work, and thank you very much for having me. Thanks.
I suspect that.
Thank you. Thank you, Katim.
Thank you.
Okay. So there being no other questions, no other attempt at further clarifying the financial or the legal questions, I'm going to ask Carla to simply document the questions again. If you would pass them through for a response from the staff this time. I am sure the drafters of the document are keen to see some response along the lines of something that they can use to make the document that much clearer. We'd appreciate it. Thank you all. I'm going to call this to a close. Take care.
Cheers. Okay, thank you. Bye.